Off the clock. Feel less busy while getting more done. Author, Laura Vanderkam. Vanderkam teaches mindset shifts to help you feel calm on the busiest days and tools you to help you get more done without feeling overwhelmed. The strategies here can help if your life feels out of control, but they can also help you if you want to take your career, your relationships, and your personal happiness to the next level. Tend your garden. When Robert Kaufman became the principal of Hillside Elementary School in Farmington Hills, Michigan, he knew he would be challenged in new ways. The school had an outsized proportion of English learners. He wanted to find time to support his best teachers and mentor those who needed help. He wanted to focus on improving student performance without getting derailed in every late bus and broken pipe. But for principal time to be invested well, first, the principal needs to know where his time goes. Kaufman learned that he was spending 39.2% of his time on instructional leadership, the teacher and curriculum management that tends to be the highest value use of a principal's time. That's better than the average principal, who spends about 30% of his time on these matters, but less than Kaufman wanted. Time passes whether or not we think about how we spend it. And this is as true in an elementary school as it is anywhere else. Without active tending, Kaufman's time was easily taken over by the equivalent of weeds, dealing with paperwork that could be managed by other people, constantly answering email, and spending too much time supervising the cafeteria. So, like a landscape designer surveying his plot, he sketched ideas of what he would like his time to look like. He brainstormed ways to be in the classrooms more often. He created Teaching Tuesdays, during which he'd teach lessons to give teachers examples of techniques. Most worked, though some bombed, which was a learning experience for everyone. He designated time during which he would give teachers positive feedback. A gardener must know his plot. He must think about what he wants it to look like. Then, it is the daily cultivation that leads to beauty in a landscape and life too. As the Buddhist monk and the meditation teacher, Bhante Hinapola Gunaratana, writes in his book, Beyond Mindfulness in Plain English, mindfulness gives you time. Time gives you choices. Choices skillfully made lead to freedom. Knowing where my time goes and choosing to tend my schedule as one might tend a garden has changed my life. I believe it will make your life feel lighter too. Make life memorable. The intensity of such things, joy, performance, adds weight to memory. It is probably not random that these images are anchored in my brain. Memories get shaped to form a story, and the stories become who we are. What is memorable? What creates emotional intensity? Bits of time can become bits of joy. For instance, if you like to be a regular somewhere for lunch, and there is much pleasure in being one, maybe you go there two or three times per week and try somewhere else the other days. Park in a different lot some ordinary Tuesdays and take a morning walk through a new neighborhood. Then make an evening stop in a store that intrigued you when you passed it on the way into work. Seek out a colleague you've previously only said hello to for a real conversation. Speak up in a meeting you normally just observe. Write a letter to the editor for the local paper some night when you have watched TV, and enjoy your sense of pride and accomplishment when you see it printed 3 days later. On a summer night, hit the neighborhood pool for an evening swim. Put a picnic blanket in the backyard and eat breakfast outside. Slip out of work early on a Wednesday and meet your spouse for a drink before taking your normal train home. Invite friends to join you for a short hike in a nearby state park you know, the one with the gorgeous pine trees, the one you've lived near for the past 4 years and have yet to visit. Invest in your happiness. The link between happiness and time. People who feel like they have enough time for the things they want to do make strategic choices to optimize their time. This can mean creating time dividends, doing things now to open up space in the future. Often, this involves investing resources, money for sure, but time is also a resource, and so is the mental energy required to develop a new worldview in achieving happiness. These three resources play their parts in different ways. Money is straightforward. Time is less so, though it can be a game changer. Mindset is the least understood resource of all of these, though it is probably the most profound. Being able to switch from enduring to enjoying, from counting minutes to seeing them as tolerable, has huge implications for opening up time. In any case, people with all the time in the world know that happiness is a worthy goal, because how we live our hours is how we live our lives. Being happy with our lives means being happy with our hours. Whether those hours are spent in a Waffle House or elsewhere, strategic investments can help us consciously design our lives to make us relaxed about our time, or, if not happy, at least less unhappy than we would be. People expand time. People are a good use of time. How to create more space in your life for close relationships and make good choices for what you do within that space. Time with friends and loved ones tends to feel relaxed and good, and hence make you feel like you have more time. Time spent pursuing Twitter does not. Making time for people can literally increase how much time you have. People with tight social ties tend to live longer and maintain better health than people without such ties. Some of this is surely correlative. Healthy people are more likely to get married, and they have the energy to visit friends and family. But there's evidence for causation too. Friends and family members make you feel less stressed. They urge you to take better care of yourself, and they take care of you and encourage you when you are sick. The result is that, in terms of longevity, having close relationships is roughly akin to quitting smoking. Let it go. Forget the best. Maximizers want the absolute best option. Satisfiers have a set of criteria and go for the first option that clears the bar. Wanting the best seems like a positive character trait. My children shout such mantras in karate class. I'm on a quest to be the best. No one is going to build a career as a motivational speaker by announcing, I settle all the time. Yet research finds that satisfiers tend to be happier than maximizers because they don't waste time ruminating over choices and expectations. People who want the best tend to be prone to regret when their choices turn out not to be perfect in some way. If you're out to find the best possible job, no matter how good it is, if you have a bad day, you think there's got to be something better out there. A bad day can't be accepted as a bad day. It becomes evidence of some larger narrative of life being on the wrong track. People who want the best are also prone to measuring themselves against others. Your house can be the best house only if it is better than everyone else's house. That means you have to look at everyone else's house, and in a world of 7 billion people, or even among the 468 people you follow on Instagram, someone's house is bound to be nicer. Satisfiers, on the other hand, know that the idea of the best is preposterous. Platonic ideas don't exist in the real world. They exist only in those books you haven't opened since your ancient philosophy class in college. In the real world, we also deal with the limitations of money, time, and physics. Even if there were a best house, it wouldn't be in your budget. Satisfiers approach decisions with a list of important criteria, like how close the house is to work, how much redecorating its kitchen needs, and how much bathrooms it has. The criteria don't have to be noble if it's important to you that a house look impressive enough to wow relatives, so it goes. But then know this, anything that satisfies your important criteria will be fine. Good enough is almost always good enough.